The second scripture reading comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty.
Thank you, Deb. What more can be said after that? A text like that. You know, as those of you who've been with us through the entire Advent season, I've been trying to share with us some thoughts on several of the names given to Jesus. And again, for those who were here the first couple weeks, I had given you an insert in the bulletin that showed you 104 different names given to Jesus. He couldn't be described in one word. He couldn't be described in 10 words. He couldn't be described in 50 words. It had to have been over 100 that would describe who this one was and is, Jesus Christ. You know, when we were kids and our name was called, it meant something, didn't it? Sometimes it meant we were in trouble, you know, when the entire name was given. David Michael Wallace. I heard that a few times in my life. And usually when my full name was given, I had to respond fairly quickly to whatever was going on, because if not, I was in pretty deep doo-doo. My children heard the same thing. By the way, Matt and Megan and the kids are here, and we're glad they're here from Florida. A little bit cooler here, but not bad. 40 degrees today isn't too bad for up here, is it, this time of year? Matt, you've heard your name before, haven't you? Yeah. Yes, once or twice you've heard that before. You know, I can just imagine Jesus when he was a little child, when his mother would say, "Jesus, Emmanuel, Yahweh, Savior, Righteous One, get over here. You've been blessing too many of the kids around here, and you got to stop. You got other things to do as well." I don't know what would have been said, but you can imagine the names that were given to Jesus to describe who he was. You know, in our world today, in our American world today, many times names are not given to people as a descriptive of who they are. They're given because we just like the name. But it is true, as a parent of a child, when you hear your child's name, it does carry meaning, doesn't it? The love you have for your child. Even when your child has done something they shouldn't do, there's something in that name that's very important, because as it leaves the lips of our mouths, it means something to us. But in that day and in that world and in a Jewish world, the names that were given with a meaning in that name. So many times names were given with the attached meaning is what brought meaning. And we've missed that a little bit today. But I wanted to look at one today. And, of course, this isn't a name, Alpha and Omega. That's not a name that we associate with Christmas. It is certainly a name we associate with Jesus, because Jesus himself is the one who said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." He also said in the end of Revelation, he's not just the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last, all three of them, meaning relatively the same thing. I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about what those names really mean, because there's some powerful truth to those names. There are other names that I think have a similar meaning to them in the sense that these titles that are given say something about Jesus. Before he came as a babe in Bethlehem, he was more than just a babe in Bethlehem. He didn't come into the scene 2,000 years ago only, and from that point on he was. There's something about Jesus that's more than that. And I want us to understand that, because I believe so many times in the church today and in the world today, people only understand Jesus as that little babe in Bethlehem that came and lived. And there were other pieces to that that they associate with Jesus, the cross. But they don't see Jesus as the one who is fully divine and fully human. And I think in these titles that are given, we see that kind of Jesus. This wasn't deception, this was truth. There are other names, I would say, of the 104 names I gave to you earlier, there are some other names that seem to indicate the same kind of thing. John chapter 1, verse 3, where John himself says, Jesus was the Creator. How could you be a creator when you were born in Bethlehem many, 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 many years after creation? John calls Jesus Creator. Colossians 1:16 says all things were created by him. Pretty clear to me. Isaiah 9:6 says this Messiah that was to come would also be named this. Everlasting Father. Jesus was given that name. This, be clear, when you read Isaiah 9:6, these titles that were given were titles that were given to the Messiah. Not to the one we already know as the Everlasting Father, but Jesus, who was part of the triune Godhead, was given the name Everlasting Father. Tells me Jesus was before Bethlehem. Although I can't understand all this, I believe it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, he's referred to as God, the Messiah, God. John 8:58, Jesus himself again out of his mouth says, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now tell me something. If he is saying something here, he's saying before Abraham was, I am. What's that mean? Because Abraham was before Bethlehem. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. Think about that, folks. Jesus was more than a marvelous human being that did some great things. Isaiah 9:6, again, getting back to that verse. Mighty God, a title given to the Messiah. One we've heard more than once before is in, again, back in John chapter 1, but not verse 3 that we were talked about before where he was talked about as creator. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 of that same chapter says, the Word became flesh and dwelt a while amongst us. Just so we know who was being spoken of when we speak of the Word. I say all that to say there is something in the titles and the names that are given to Jesus that shares with you and me that Jesus was more than a great man. He was more than a great prophet. He was more than the greatest example there ever was. Jesus was given these titles because Jesus was part of the triune Godhead before he ever came as a babe in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. How could a man lay claim to the things of God alone? Jesus was born a human in Bethlehem. We don't deny that either. Jesus was born a human in Bethlehem. He was born from the womb of Mary. God can't be born. Jesus died a human at Calvary. God can't die. I refer back to a passage in Philippians chapter 2 that, for me, clarifies this seeming contradiction that he was fully human and fully God. It is not a contradiction. It is the absolute truth. It's spoken of in the titles that are given to Jesus, and it's the truth in God's Word. spoken over and over and over again by his disciples. Here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through verse 11. Powerful verses that I think lay it out for us in a way that maybe we can understand a little bit better. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. We couldn't get it. Okay? But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance even as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that is the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, what Jesus did is he stripped himself of the glory that was his. Before he came incarnate in the world as a babe in Bethlehem, he stripped himself of those characteristics that were his because he was part of the triune Godhead at the very beginning. In fact, even in Genesis chapter 1, we read of a verse there where it says, God says to his creation, "Let us make man in our image." We aren't talking about three different gods here. Let me be clear. It's one God, three persons. One God, three persons. The Godhead, we call it. The Trinity, we call it in Scripture. Very clearly. Here we see in Scripture what Paul to the people of Philippi was saying about who Jesus really was. He was more than a man. And he wasn't just divine only. He came as a human to die for humanity because that's who had to die for humanity, was a human. A perfect one. One who knew no sin, who came and died on the cross at Calvary and rose again, showing that he wasn't just human, but he was also divine. He conquered. Only God can do that, because Jesus was also God come in human flesh. How could Jesus be then before Bethlehem? I told you before, he said, before Abraham was, I am. John himself said he was creator. In Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image. John says Jesus was in the beginning. Isaiah says he will be called the everlasting Father. It's because Jesus was indeed before he incarnated as man. Now, you may leave this morning and still scratch your head a little bit. I scratch my head a little bit because I don't understand it all, but I believe it because it's God's word. That's what God did. It does make sense to me as it's laid out before me. But I'm just a human being with a finite mind that's not really working so well anyway. But I believe it. Because it's the truth, folks. And we need to know the truth. We need to know that Jesus was more than what many people make him out to be. We need to know that. So this Christmas season, this Advent season, as we come together on Christmas Eve, I want us to understand that Jesus was more than someone who started and just came into being on that day called Christmas. He was before Christmas. He was God come in human flesh. The gap between God and us was so great, and yet Jesus narrowed the gap. He narrowed the gap in so many different ways. He narrowed the gap because he did come as one of us so that we could relate to God in a very real way. We could see him. We could touch him. We could talk to him. We could eat with him. We could do all those things with him. This one who came, God come in human flesh, we could understand a little bit. But isn't it amazing that that the creator of the universe would go to all those kinds of lengths to show us how much he loves us. I believe, as I bring us to a close this morning, that it is a grave theological mistake to neglect either Jesus' divinity or his humanity. I use that word, grave theological mistake. In the world we live in today and all we have access to, I want you to understand that Scripture says that Jesus was fully divine and Jesus was fully human. If we think any less than that, that is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's some other Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. If God came and did all this, can't you trust him to do it for you? If God came to do all this, can't you trust him to do it for you? As human only, Jesus would be limited. But the one who came is fully human and limited himself while he was here, conquered all that destroys humanity. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he conquered the devil. Those three, conquered by the one who came. God come in human flesh, Jehovah, Yahweh, the righteous one, Emmanuel. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and he is the last. And yet, I want you to know, each and every one of you, that one who is all of that loves you. Died for you. He died for you. He didn't just die for the corporate world. He died for you and for me. And we're just a little speck on this little earth. And yet God knows us by name, knows the hair on our head. And like I said, it's easier for him and some of the old guys here. He knows all this about us. You need to know. Jesus is God come in human flesh. And don't let anyone tell you anything else. Because if they do, they're not reading the Bible. They're reading something else. Thanks be to God. He loves us that much. Let's pray. God, in a world so full of information, sometimes we get the wrong information. In a world where people are trying to figure out who this Jesus really is, some just don't get it. God, you gave him 104 names in your word to try to help us to understand who Jesus is. And yet, we'd probably need another 104 to fully encapsulate it. And yet, he loves us by name. And as we give our life to him, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't deserve it. It's why he came. The gap was so huge. But I am grateful that he did it for me. And I am grateful that he did it for each and every person sitting here in this church on this Sunday morning at this point in time. And that this one who did that for me doesn't even treat me or anyone else here as a second-rate person. Because once the saving work was done on the cross at Calvary, he says that we have a place with him in heaven. And he tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8 that we are co-heirs, brothers and sisters, with Jesus Christ, the one who is fully divine and fully human. We share in all that is his because he said it's all ours. What a gift. A gift wrapped up for us as we saw it at Bethlehem. Really unwrapped for us when we saw it at Calvary and the empty tomb. Thank you in the precious name of our Lord, our Savior, our God come in human flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen.